Please turn in your Bibles to Book of Luke. Luke chapter 20, and we'll be just reading verses 46 and 47. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Luke 20, 46 to 47, beginning to read. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. Let's pray. Father, how we do thank thee for thy word, which answers every question and covers every need and situation. So we pray this morning that thou would meet the needs here, and thy word would bring light in darkness. We pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Please be seated. As the text we read, or was read to us earlier from Matthew 6, said something similar to what we've just read. They have their reward. These were the scribes that were making their long prayers in public and wanted to be noticed. Not that it's anti-scriptural to have public prayer. It's right and proper. But these were walking around the streets and getting on the corners where there were a lot of people and waiting for a crowd to appear, and then they would start to make their prayers, or they would fast in such a way that it disfigured their faces so they would be seen as fasting and drawing attention to themselves. So that's what the context of all that was, and the Lord said they have their reward. Now I want to talk about the subject of degrees of punishment and reward. Most people have a concept that if there is a heaven and hell, that a certain group will go to one place, a certain group will go to the other, and it will be the same for both groups in their respective places. That the punishments of hell will be equal for all, and the blessings of heaven and the rewards in heaven will be equal. This is a common concept. And even amongst preachers. I was at a conference once. There was quite a few there somewhere in, I think it was in Michigan. I'm getting the conferences mixed up now. But I remember the reaction to this idea that I'm presenting right now. And in general, you know, there was a good reaction to it. But there were even preachers that were kind of wagging their heads. It's a common, I believe, misconception that God is a communist and that everyone will be rewarded in heaven equally and everyone in hell will be receive an equal reward. A reward, a payment for their deeds. I don't believe that for a minute, that God operates that way, and I can demonstrate it from the scripture. Where in the passage we just read, those two verses, 46 and 47 of Luke 20, the very last two words says, okay, the same shall receive greater damnation. So from those two words, we know that in hell, for example, there are degrees of damnation. He shall receive greater damnation, greater than someone else. These religious fakes are going to receive greater damnation than certain others. so we can establish that there are degrees of damnation and degrees of rewards in heaven. Let's look at while we're in Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. So first of all, I want to break something to two points. First of all, there is we want to deal with the sinner and then the saint. So, first of all, Luke chapter 12. And verses 46 to 48. Where the scripture says, "The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." So this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And in this teaching, he's stating to the children of Israel, first of all, because he came to the Jew, and he's talking to Jews, his covenant people that were supposed to be servants of the Most High God. But of course, amongst them were many unbelievers. That's why he said he will appoint their portion among the unbelievers. Among the Jews, many, many of them were lost, even though they had religion. And Jesus rebuked them over and over that they were the favored people, the chosen people, and yet there were so many unbelievers amongst them. And then he said, that he likened them to servants that were not serving the Lord, and said to them that the Lord will make a difference in the day that he comes to deal with them. He'll make a difference, even though they were supposed to have served him but didn't. There were those that knew his will, and there were those that didn't. And he said to those that knew his will and didn't obey, that they would have the greater damnation. They would be beaten with many stripes, as it says here in verse 47. "And that servant which knew the Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes," people say, "Oh, well, he's got to go to heaven." No. No, no, no. Ignorance is no excuse of the law. "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." Much, his punishment will be lesser by far than the one that knew, but nevertheless he will still be punished. He will still have these stripes administered, as it were. So of course, that's not in, we're not talking about heaven here, we're talking about hell. And it's very important. You say, why are you bringing up something like that? It's very important because so many people have got this misconception that God would never send me to hell because I'm not the worst on planet Earth. No one is. I've never found the worst one yet. Everyone's just slightly better than their neighbor, or slightly worse than someone else, but they're not the worst. They're not the worst of mankind. I've never met that person. Have you met that person yet? Even Hitler would consider himself the worst. You know, almost, or that wicked Stalin, what a wretch. I don't know why the Allies ever worked with him. He had murdered, killed so many, millions and millions he murdered. But even that wretch, he's in hell right now, you can be sure of it. But even that wretch would consider himself somewhat better than someone else. He would somehow be able to live with himself and say, "I'm not the worst on planet Earth." That's human nature. And this teaching is to dispel that idea that people aren't going to hell because they're not as bad as someone else. And that's how people read it. Say, no, no, God would never send me to hell. You know, speaking to a lady just recently, and she said that same thing. She said, God would, no. She said, I'm not really that bad. Well, perhaps compared to Stalin, she's not. She's probably a nice lady, a decent lady. And she probably, you know, gives candy and cookies to children and her grandchildren and has a certain amount of love in her bosom for others. Of course she's not like Stalin. I wouldn't think she's killed anybody, let alone millions. Yet the scripture says we kill in our hearts. You know, I haven't killed anyone with my hands, but I killed my dad several times over. You know, there were times when I wished that he was dead. You know? So, and yet, you know, as time went on, I stopped killing him. You know, and I started to, I started to mature and be more loving. But still, I killed him several times over in my heart, and that's where sin is, and that's what God says we're going to be judged on. I've killed him several times. That's why we need a Savior. So those that say, and I could say the same thing, I used to say the same thing. I'm a decent fellow. Yeah, I killed my dad a few times, but I'm still a decent fellow. You know, and I am concerned about the underdog the idea of standing up for the underdog, and I used to pat myself on the chest. You know, you stood up for him, and you know, you didn't take any guff for them, and you know, you're a pretty decent fellow on the side. You know, I don't mind telling you that, you know, personally between you and me, and you know, that kind of thing. You're not that bad. That's the way I used to think, but I still had a niggling doubt that I wasn't good enough. But you're not that bad, but still, it's got to be some way of God finding a place for you in heaven somehow after you've been washed up a little bit. But notice not how it works. No, what God's going to do, he's going to judge people according to their sins. And they're going to be rewarded. We're talking about unbelievers now, and they're going to be rewarded according to their sins. So that dear old lady isn't going to get as many stripes as Mussolini or Stalin or Pol Pot and all those other wicked evil people. No, she's not going to get as much, but she's still going to hell if she dies without Christ, if she dies unpardoned. It's just that God will have a special place for her in hell. There's room in hell for everybody. For every lost person, there's room. And the Bible says that hell is expanding all the time, making room. But God is just, and he's not going to put everyone in the same area. They will not experience the same intensity of misery. But nevertheless, who wants to go to hell? And that's why people need to realize that, instead of excusing themselves and saying, well, there's no way I'm going to hell because I'm not that bad. Well, yeah, God's got a place for the ones that are not that bad. It's a place for them. In a corner somewhere, it says, those that are not that bad, there's an arrow going that way, okay? You go that way. You know, that's basically, you know, but there is a place for them. There is a place. So we have there will be those that do not the Lord, that are ignorant. People talk about, well, what about the people out in faraway lands that have never heard the gospel? Well, these are that's that place for them. They're not so bad. They go there. No, they are bad. But the thing is, they were still ignorant and they never heard the gospel. You know, that won't excuse them. They didn't know God's will. They didn't know as far as that God's Son came into the earth and died for them. They didn't know. But that won't change anything as far as their destination. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. question is, have you been that way? Because that way alone will get you to the Father. And there's no one in this room that can plead the excuse, I never heard. But even those that say they never heard, they still have two other witnesses, the witness of creation and the witness of the law of God on their heart. They come into the world stamped with it. And those two are enough light to drive a person to look for God. They are without excuse, the Bible says. So, but they will get a lesser judgment. So it's important to establish that there are degrees of punishment. And that should blow away that idea that I'm not that bad, so therefore I can't go to hell because only the very worst of sinners are there. No. They're all there. All those that have not been pardoned, all those that have never gone to Christ and admitted their need of forgiveness. So Jesus said that. I didn't say that. It was his teaching. He taught that. I wouldn't want one stripe or one person. I wouldn't want to see anyone suffer. If it wasn't that bad, Christ wouldn't have come. He wouldn't have suffered. So it's all to do with light rejected. Matthew, which worsens the punishment. Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and verse 20. Then began he, this is the Lord, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. So this is Christ, and he is upbraiding and rebuking the inhabitants of Chorazin and Bethsaida. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, at the day of judgment than you. Get it? More tolerable. Degrees of judgment. More tolerable for the ignorant. They're still going to be judged and they're still going to be punished, but it will be more tolerable for these other communities where he did not preach, for these other communities that never heard him. Verse 23, and now Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. You see that? He says, if I'd gone through Sodom and Gomorrah and they had seen my miracles, seen my credentials, and had enough evidence to know that I am the Messiah, that I am God manifest in the flesh, they would have repented. If I had gone through Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said that they would remain to this day, I wouldn't have poured fire and brimstone on them. I wouldn't have leveled them, turned them into ashes. You see what he's saying? He's saying that it's worse than sodomy to reject the light. To reject. The worst thing anyone could do is to reject the gospel when they hear it. That is the worst sin that anyone can commit. It's the unpardonable sin, actually. Sodomy can be forgiven. People can be cleansed. But this one of crossing the line with God and rejecting and rejecting and rejecting the blood of Christ as our justification over and over comes to a place where it's the unforgivable sin. And this is what these Jews had committed in Capernaum. They had rejected the light. And so so he says in verse 23, and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Those of Sodom are going to hell, no question about it. There was only Noah. Excuse me. No, I get this too. There was only Lot and his two daughters that survived it. That was it. They came out, and so the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plain, they're in hell right now. There's no hope for them. They're in hell right now. But the Lord is saying, they're going to be better off in hell than you folks of Capernaum. You religious Jews that heard the gospel, saw me in person, saw my miracles, and still rejected it all. Refused me as your Messiah. So you're going to be worse off than the Sodomites of Sodom, is what he said. So there are degrees of punishment. Mark it down. If you're not saved this morning, don't use that as an excuse to say, I know God would never send me to hell. That's just for the bad ones. No, it's for everyone that's outside of Christ. And there's a place for you if you die in your sins. There's a place for dear old dears. There's a place for nice people and nice men, decent people, kind people, people that have even jumped into a river to save someone else's life. Decent people, decent neighbors, law-abiding, good people in that sense compared to the rest. They're still being hell. Salvation isn't worked on the basis of our personal merit. It's worked on receiving the merit of someone else, Jesus Christ. That's the only way it works. It's the only way it can work. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen, come short of the glory of God. We've come short of his glorious standard. That's why, that's the only way it can work. Christ has met that standard. We've all fallen short from one degree or another. And look at Revelation 20, please. Revelation 20 and verse 11. This is the great white throne judgment, this passage in Revelation 20. This is the judgment of the unsaved dead. Believers will receive their judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. And it will not be a judgment on the basis of whether we are good enough to enter into heaven. It will be on the basis of how we have served him. And our rewards will be meted out accordingly. But it has nothing to do with deciding whether we are one of his or not. But this one in chapter 20 is all about the judgment of the unsaved dead. They are resurrected after the millennium, after the thousand-year rule and reign of Christ. There is this one last judgment, and it's dealing with the unsaved dead of all generations. They'll all be there, the unsaved dead. They'll be taken out of hell, and they'll be there before God at the judgment bar. Hell is just a holding tank. It's where they wait to be sentenced, where they wait to be sent out into the lake of fire. That's where they will serve their sentence, and that's where it will be experienced. Hell, I guess, I use hell and the lake of fire sometimes synonymously, but it's not. There is a difference. Hell is the holding tank in the center of the earth, the Bible says, the lower parts of the earth. Lake of fire, I don't know where that is. But we know there is a lake of fire. And the holding tank is just a jailhouse where all the criminals end up pre-sentence time. And now this is the judgment and sentencing time right here in in chapter 20. And in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Because at that time, this present earth and the heavens, the universe, are going to be burning up. We read about that in other places. But at this time, at the white throne judgment, the backdrop or the wallpaper in the throne room, so to speak, will be the universe burning and the earth. That's how somber and solemn it is. Destruction is the backdrop, and destruction will be the sentencing. Man, lost man, will be destroyed forever. An ongoing destruction, like the burning bush that Moses looked at, that was never consumed. And Jesus speaks about that in Mark 9, about the worm that dieth not. The life keeps going on and on. So here is the place where people are judged and sentenced according to their works. So verse 11 of Revelation 20, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. John the apostle is given a glimpse, given a preview, I should say. He sees ahead of what's going to happen, and he comes back and he writes it down for us. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face, that's God, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I saw the dead, small and great. Small and great, not meaning height, but positions that they once held when they were on the earth. Positions of prominence, you know, and power and prestige and wealth and so on. I saw the dead, small and great. So they've been resurrected. Their bodies taken out of the ground, their spirits out of hell, joined to their bodies. And people laugh. They say, well, how can God get a body out of the grave that's been in there for thousands of years? Well, he says, it's just down to particles. Well, God made us out of particles in the first place. He made us out of the dust of the earth. No problem for God. He can bring every single particle back into place. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. We are not absolutely clear what all these books are. We know that we're going to be judged according to God's word. If we're lost, that is, we're going to be judged according to God's law. I'm sure glad I won't be judged according to God's law, because I've broken them. But the unpardoned will be judged by this book. And also there are the books of his records. Everyone's making a record of their life. It's no problem. Easy enough for God to do that. I mean, man could even do that now, you know, with his technology. He can record just about anything. But God can record even the thoughts of the intents of the heart. He has it all on record. So these books are open. The word of God, our own record, if we're unpardoned. And then the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, in which is registered everyone that has been pardoned by his blood. So he says here, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things, verse 12, which were written in the books according to their works. Notice, according to their works. According to what they did on earth. So the chap that jumped in the river to save someone else, that's all recorded. The chap that, or the lady that was self-giving and did so much for so many other people and had compassion for, let's say, someone, you know, someone moved into the area that generally needed help, and she helped them out, and all that's recorded. Doesn't save anybody, though. You say, well, it should. No, it doesn't. We are created in the image of God. We have the vestiges, even in our fallen body, of God's ways. There are many decent people, many people that would help another that are not the slightest bit religious. Many. And some of them are religious, but from oriental faiths or whatever, that are decent people as far as the way they treat others. Doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Those oriental faiths reject Christ. No, it's just the image and stamp of God on mankind. Those are the traits of mankind coming out because God put them in us. It doesn't mean you go to heaven just because you're behaving like a proper human being. You don't go to heaven on that basis. No. So here they are, judged according to their works. And verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, or those that died at sea, and death and hell delivered up the dead. So death and hell. Death for the body, hell for the spirit. Delivered up the dead that were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged again, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So all those... See, death, Christians, Jesus said concerning the Christian that there is no death for us. Even though our body is put in the ground, we ascend immediately, our spirit ascends immediately to be in the presence of the Lord, 2 Corinthians tells us. We're there with him. There's no death for the Christian. And there's no death even for our body, because our body's going to be resurrected and glorified. So death isn't a word associated with Christians. It's life that we have, eternal life. We're children of life, not of death. Death is what we were once when we came into this world. We were children of death and darkness until we were converted. But once we're converted, this word death is not part of our vocabulary. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There'll be those that will say, check the book. I should be there. I have to be there. I know I'm there. There's been a mistake. Check the book. Well, the book's got to be checked. The book of life. The Lamb's book of life. And to get in that book, you have to go through the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood as an offering, a sacrifice, to atone, cover our sins. So if you're in the Lamb's book of life, it's settled. And it happens the moment you repent of your sins and trust in Christ. At that instant, you become one of his. You are logged in the Lamb's book of life. So there's no fear, but this book is open for anyone that has questions. You say no one will be asking questions in that day. I used to wonder about that, but no, I believe there'll be some that will protest, because if you look at it in Matthew 7, it talks about those that say, Lord, Lord, we've done thus and thus in your name. Lord, Lord, we've done this for you. We've blah 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 blah. I never knew you, he says. Get hence from me, you workers of iniquity, and so on. No, there'll be those that will say, no, check it, you'll see, I'll be there. There's been a huge mistake. I've just spent 1,000 years in hell. I didn't deserve to go there. Justice hasn't been done. You hear about it all the time in the news, people getting off for murder over and over and over. Not in God's courtroom. No, God makes no mistakes. If a person ends up in the lockup called hell, they're there for a reason. But there'll be those that after they've gotten out of hell and are standing before God and are judged that will plead their innocence, but will not be found. No one at this judgment will be found in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's only opened to confirm that for any protests that there might be. So they're judged according to their works. But unfortunately, we have no works that are acceptable to God. That's a sad thing, isn't it? We've all met decent people, nice people, kind people. We've all met them. And you begin to witness to them, they don't want anything to do with it. And yet, they're nice people. And you think to yourself, I can't imagine someone like that not going to heaven. They're so nice, so considerate, so caring. But they won't be there if they die that way. They won't be there. Mark it down. They won't be there. You need a relationship with the Father through the Son. You need to have been reconciled. Because though we may look good to others, we're not good. We don't look good to God. He sees right into us. And even the nicest and the best, even these decent ones, they're pushed enough, you'll see another side come out that God knows about. So, degrees of punishment. Well, you'll have to come for the sequel, which is degrees of reward. but in all seriousness, though, I won't go into the degrees of reward this morning, but in all seriousness, though, where do you stand this morning? Are you trusting in the fact that you are better than some others you've known or observed? Or are you trusting in the perfect one who alone is acceptable to the Father? That's what I'm trusting in. I don't trust in Alan S. Val. He's a wretch. He'll sink anyone's boat. I don't trust in me for a moment. I'm trusting in that perfect one that fulfilled the law, satisfied God's justice, and has set me free. And he will do the same for you this morning if you're not in Christ. Could we have a song of invitation, please, brother?